Welcome to Zikhu Daf Siman by Ram Gold. All right, there Masechus of Avodah Zarah, Daf Tezvav. The first paragraph, Nei Dehen. The Zikhu Masechus of Avodah Zarah program has been dedicated. Azechin Nishmas, Rav Moshe Ben Yamin Ben Rav Menachem Al Vasham, and Azechin Nishmas, his son, Rav Menachem Avram Ben Rav Moshe Ben Yamin Al Vasham. May the Neshamas have an Aliyah. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Mishnah taught it's forbidden everywhere to sell behema gasa, large livestock, to an idolater. The Gemara explains that we're concerned he'll do malach with it on Shabbos. The Gemara asks that this should be permitted since the idolater fully acquired the animal, and even if he merely borrowed or rented it, it should be considered acquired by him and its malacha is permitted. Rami Braid Rav Yeva answered, Gezer Mishum Nisyone. It's a decree because of testing an animal before the sale. Sometimes a Jew may sell an animal close to Shabbos, and the non-Jewish buyer will ask to test the animal's ability to carry. The animal will hear its owner's voice and walk with its burden, which pleases the seller, and he thus violates Mechamer Achar Behemto b'Shabbos, walking after his laden animal on Shabbos. The Gemara proves from the fact that a Kohen who rents a cow from a Yisrael cannot feed a Truma that renting or borrowing does not acquire the item. Therefore, it concludes that selling a behema gasa to an idolater is forbidden because of a gezer that he may rent or lend it to him, and its malacha would be prohibited as well as a concern of testing. Point note to Rav Huna once sold a cow to an idolater and explained to Rav Chista why this was permitted. Emer l'shchita zavna, say the idolater bought it for slaughter, not for work. And the Mishnah's ban would apply to animals not commonly eaten, for example, horses, and are purchased for work, or whenever the idolater says his purchase is for work. This leniency can be demonstrated from Beis Hillel, who permits selling a field during Shemitah to a Yisrael suspect of violating Shemitah, although the seller is responsible for work performed in his field during Shemitah because the buyer may let it lie fallow. Rav Ashi ultimately concludes with the rule, Kohega de Ekula Misla Talinin, wherever one can make a reasonable assumption for a leniency, we make that assumption, Afagav de Mitzuva, even though he's commanded regarding the property's work. If there's no reasonable assumption for leniency, he cannot even sell something which is not his own responsibility because of lifnei iver for the buyer, for example, selling farming tools to someone suspected of violating Shemitah. And point number three, Rabbah sold a donkey to a Yisrael who suspected of selling such animals to idolaters. Abaye asked him why he did so, since this Jew may sell the animal to an idolater, to which Rabbah replied, Lovud kochavim kamazavim, to an idolater he'll sell it, Yisrael ol kamazavim, but to another Yisrael he'll not sell it. We should leniently assume he'll sell it to Yisrael. This is challenged from a brisa which prohibits selling animals to kusim, although they're not suspected of relations with animals, and another brisa prohibits selling any weapons to kusim, although they're not suspected of murdering Jews. This proves that the ban on selling these items to kusim is because they'll sell them to idolaters. Although one might argue this only applies to kusim who do not repent, but not to suspected Jews who do repent, Rabbah Bar Avuah explicitly said that just as it's forbidden to sell certain items to an idolater, kach asur limkor liYisrael achash limkor lo abur kochavim, it's similarly forbidden to sell such items to a Yisrael suspected to sell them to an idolater. Upon hearing this, Rabbah ran three parsaos, or one parsa in the sand, to buy back the donkey, but did not catch the purchaser. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, the Mishnah taught it's forbidden everywhere to sell behema gasa, large livestock, to an idolater. The Gemara explains that we're concerned he'll do malach with it on Shabbos. The Gemara asks that this should be permitted since the idolater fully acquired the animal, and even if he merely borrowed or rented it, it should be considered acquired by him and its malacha is permitted. Rami Braid Rav Yeva answered, Gezer Mishum Nisyone. It's a decree because of testing an animal before the sale. Sometimes a Jew may sell an animal close to Shabbos, and the non-Jewish buyer will ask to test the animal's ability to carry. The animal will hear its owner's voice and walk with its burden, which pleases the seller, and he thus violates Mechamer Achar Behemto b'Shabbos, walking after his laden animal on Shabbos. The Gemara proves from the fact that a Kohen who rents a cow from a Yisrael cannot feed a Truma that renting or borrowing does not acquire the item. Therefore, it concludes that selling a behema gasa to an idolater is forbidden because of a gezer that he may rent or lend it to him, and its malacha would be prohibited as well as a concern of testing. Point note to Rav Huna once sold a cow to an idolater and explained to Rav Chista why this was permitted. Emer l'shchita zavna, say the idolater bought it for slaughter, not for work. And the Mishnah's ban would apply to animals not commonly eaten, for example, horses, and are purchased for work, or whenever the idolater says his purchase is for work. This leniency can be demonstrated from Beis Hillel, who permits selling a field during Shemitah to a Yisrael suspect of violating Shemitah, although the seller is responsible for work performed in his field during Shemitah because the buyer may let it lie fallow. Rav Ashi ultimately concludes with the rule, Kohega de Ekula Misla Talinin, wherever one can make a reasonable assumption for a leniency, we make that assumption, Afagav de Mitzuva, even though he's commanded regarding the property's work. If there's no reasonable assumption for leniency, he cannot even sell something which is not his own responsibility because of lifnei iver for the buyer, for example, selling farming tools to someone suspected of violating Shemitah. And point number three, Rabbah sold a donkey to a Yisrael who suspected of selling such animals to idolaters. Abaye asked him why he did so, since this Jew may sell the animal to an idolater, to which Rabbah replied, Lavud kochavim kamazabim, to an idolater he'll sell it, Yisrael will kamazabim, but to another Yisrael he'll not sell it. We should leniently assume he'll sell it to Yisrael. This is challenged from a brisa which prohibits selling animals to kusim, although they're not suspected of relations with animals, and another brisa prohibits selling any weapons to kusim, although they're not suspected of murdering Jews. This proves that the ban on selling these items to kusim is because they'll sell them to idolaters. Although one might argue this only applies to kusim who do not repent, but not to suspected Jews who do repent, Rabbah bar Avuha explicitly said that just as it's forbidden to sell certain items to an idolater, kach asur limkor liYisrael achash limkor lo b'kochavim, it's similarly forbidden to sell such items to a Yisrael suspected to sell them to an idolater. Upon hearing this, Rabbah ran three parsa'os, or one parsa in the sand, to buy back the donkey, but did not catch the purchaser. All right, so now we go to our siman daf Tezvav, and our standard siman is a fruit bowl, because Tezvav reminds us of Tu B'Shvat, which reminds us of fruit, and we use a fruit bowl to make the siman more distinct. So here goes. The idolater fruit bowl salesman, who was angry at a Jew who refused to sell him a behemah gussit donkey to carry his merchandise, was shocked when another Jew sold another idolater a cow, explaining that perhaps it was bought for shechita, but wouldn't sell a donkey to another Jew who was suspected of selling donkeys to idolaters. Once again, slow motion. The idolater fruit bowl salesman, fruit bowl, that must be run duff, tezvav, Tu B'Shvat, fruit, fruit bowl. The idolater fruit bowl salesman, who was angry at a Jew who refused to sell him a behemah gussit donkey to carry his merchandise, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that it's forbidden everywhere to sell behemah gussah, large livestock, to an idolater. Rami Breid Rav Yeva explained, Gezer Mishum Nisune, it's a decree because of testing an animal before the sale. Sometimes a Jew may sell an animal close to Shabbos, and the non-Jewish buyer will ask to test the animal's ability to carry. The animal will hear its owner's voice and walk with its burden, which pleases the seller, and he thus violates Mechamrach Behemto B'Shabbos, walking after his laden animal on Shabbos. So the idolater fruit bowl salesman, who was angry at a Jew, refused to sell him a behemah gussit donkey to carry his merchandise, was shocked when another Jew sold another idolater a cow, explaining that perhaps it was bought for shechita, which reminds us, Rav Huna once sold a cow to an idolater and explained to Rav Chisda why this was permitted. Emer l'shechita zavna, say the idolater bought it for slaughter, not for work, and the Mishnah's ban would apply to animals not commonly eaten, for example, horses, and are purchased for work, or wherever the idolater says his purchase is for work. Ravashi provides a rule, koheka de ikla misla talinen, wherever one can make a reasonable assumption for a leniency, we make that assumption, va'afogav de mitzuva, even though he's commanded regarding the property's work. If there's no reasonable assumption for leniency, he cannot even sell something which is not his own responsibility because of lifnei iver for the buyer. For example, selling farming tools to someone suspected of violating Shemitah. So the idolater fruit bowl salesman, who was angry at a Jew who refused to sell him a behemah gussit donkey to carry his merchandise, was shocked when another Jew sold another idolater a cow, explaining that perhaps it was bought for shechita, but wouldn't sell a donkey to another Jew who was suspected of selling donkeys to idolaters, which reminds us, it's forbidden to sell animals to a Jew who's suspected of selling them to idolaters, and we don't say that perhaps he's going to sell it to a Jew. So once again, the idolater fruit bowl salesman, who was angry at a Jew who refused to sell him a behemah gussit donkey to carry his merchandise, was shocked when another Jew sold another idolater a cow, explaining that perhaps it was bought for shechita, but wouldn't sell a donkey to another Jew who was suspected of selling donkeys to idolaters. All right, so now it's time for four blabach chazara. Daf Yudov. So the Simmer Daf Yudov is stars based on the 11 stars in Yosef's dream. So here goes. The Ger who had placed gold stars, that must be on Daf Yudov. The Ger who had placed gold stars on the garments of Roman soldiers he converted while standing near a mezuzah, which reminds us, the Gemara relates that Uncas became a Ger and kept converting the Roman troops sent after him. The Caesar sent a third troop and warned them not to say anything to him. As they were taking him away, he touched the mezuzah and asked them what it was. They asked him to explain, and he said that although a human king sits inside and his servants guard him from outside, but with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, his servants sit inside and he guards them outside. These soldiers also converted, and the Caesar did not send others after him. So the Gerud placed gold stars on the garments of Roman soldiers he converted while standing near a mezuzah, next to where a king's garments were being burned on the day of his death, which reminds us in the Mishnah Daf Ches Amud Aleph, Ramirez said that the king's birthday and the day of his death are idolatrous events, prohibiting business with them 3 days before. The Chachamim say it's only forbidden if they burned his personal items. The Gemara explains that this practice is not idolatrous, but a demonstration of chashivusa, the king's prominence. The Chachamim hold they only worshipped idols on a death that was significant enough that they burned his personal articles. So the Geru had placed gold stars on the garments of Roman soldiers he converted while standing near a mezuzah, next to where a king's garments were being burned. On the day of his death, refused to give a star to the healthy man who approached him while on the shoulders of a cripple, which reminds us, the Gemara describes the Roman festival celebrating Esav's triumph over Yaakov. Every 70 years, they would bring a healthy person, representing Esav, and have him ride on top of a cripple, representing Yaakov. The rider would wear the garments of Adam and Rishon and place the flayed skin of Rabbi Shmuel's face on his head. The Gemara proceeds to describe what the Romans would call out to him. Daf Yud Beis. So the symbol Daf Yud Beis is 12 brothers. So here goes. The 12 brothers. 12 brothers? That must mean we're on Daf Yud Beis. The 12 brothers standing outside the city that was celebrating an idolatrous festival, around their pot that was cooking next to a Nachri's pot, which reminds us, the Mishnah on the previous daf permits doing business outside a city celebrating an idolatrous festival. Rish Lakish quoted Rabbi Hanina permitting even the marketplace of Azza, which was right outside Azza. In another version, Rish Lakish asked Rabbi Hanina about the marketplace of Azza, and Rabbi Hanina responded, "Have you never gone to Tzur in your life and seen a Jew and an idolater placing two pots on one stove? Yet the Chachamim were not concerned about their case. This ruling and analogy are interpreted in three ways. The first one being, Abai says they were not concerned the idolater would put nevela into the Jew's pot, and similarly, are unconcerned that a seller in the market is receiving money used for idolatry and biblically prohibited." So the 12 brothers standing outside the city that was celebrating an idolatrous festival around their pot that was cooking next to a Nachri's pot, had to stop one brother from bowing down to remove a thorn in his foot while in front of an idol, which reminds us, if a thorn became stuck in someone's foot in front of an idol, he may not bend down to remove it because he appears as if he's bowing to the idol. So the 12 brothers standing outside the city that was celebrating an idolatrous festival around their pot that was cooking next to a Nachri's pot, had to stop one brother from bowing down to remove a thorn in his foot while in front of an idol, and another from drinking from the pipe in the ground because of the danger of leeches, which reminds us, the Braisa concludes, similarly, one may not place his mouth on a pipe in the ground and drink because of the danger. The Gemara explains that he might swallow a leech. Daf Yud Gimel. So the Simran Daf Yud Gimel is a Bar Mitzvah boy. So here goes. The Bar Mitzvah boy and his father, Bar Mitzvah boy, that must be one Daf Yud Gimel. The Bar Mitzvah boy and his father, who did not enter any shops in the idolatrous market, decorate with hadassim on their festival, which reminds us, the Mishnah on the previous daf teaches regarding a city in which some of the shops are decorated and some are not, that the decorated shops are prohibited, but the undecorated shops are permitted. Shimon Lakish says the prohibition is only for shops decorated with rose or hadas, which were offered before the idol because he benefits from their forbidden fragrance when visiting the shop. But if the shops are only decorated with fruit, they're permitted, although some of the profits will go to the idol because the pasuk, Yidbak biyadcha me'uma min acherem, nothing from the condemned property shall remain in your hand, implies that only then derived having benefit from idolatrous property is prohibited, but mahana, providing benefit to the idol, is permitted. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees and prohibits even shopping in stores decorated with fruit based on a kal vachomer. If deriving benefit from avodah zorah is prohibited, is providing benefit to it not certainly prohibited? So the Bar Mitzvah boy and his father, who did not enter any shops in the idolatrous market, decorate with hadassim on their festival, passed by a cow that a Jew improperly bought, collapsed on the ground after ikur was done to it, which reminds us, Rabbi Nassin says that if a Jew does forbidden business in the market, behema te'akir, a purchased animal should be uprooted. Ikur is defined as he cuts the tendons of its hooves from the knee and downwards. The Gemara objects that this violates Tsar Balei Chaim, causing suffering of living creatures, and answers that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yehoshua to do so, indicating this is permitted to subjugate idolaters. So the Bar Mitzvah boy and his father, who did not enter any shops in the idolatrous market, decorate with hadassim on their festival, passed by a cow that a Jew improperly bought, collapsed on the ground after ikur was done to it, and stopped to buy new shoes from a Baha Bias, Sheena Kavua, which reminds us, Rabbi Yaakov bought sandals at an idolatrous market, and Rabbi Yirmiyah bought bread at an idolatrous market. The Gemara explains that both of them bought from a Baha Bias, a householder who does not collect taxes for the idol, but each thought that the other had bought from a Tagar, a merchant, who does collect the tax. The Gemara explains that Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Yirmiyah made their purchases from a Baha Bias, Sheena Kavua, a Baha Bias who is not established at the fair, and the priests do not collect taxes from such a Baha Bias. Daf Yadal. So the siman Daf Yadal is a yad, a hand, and we often use a juggler in the siman. So here goes. The idolater juggler, that must be more on Daf Yadalit, yad, hand. The idolater juggler who was looking for someone to sell him roosters to juggle, which reminds us, the Mishnah on the previous Daf listed items which are always forbidden to sell to an idolater because they're used for idolatry, including certain fruits, frankincense, and tarnagol lavan, a white rooster. Rehuda permits selling a white rooster among roosters. Rabbi Zera said that if an idolater asks, Tarnagola me, who has a rooster to sell, without specifying a white rooster, one may even sell him a white rooster, because it's apparently not for a sacrifice. If he asks, who has a white rooster to sell, it's forbidden to sell him one, because we suspect it's for sacrifice. So the idolater juggler, who was looking for someone to sell him roosters to juggle, asked one merchant if he had a white one with a cut-off toe, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that if one sells a white rooster alone, he can cut its toe and sell because they would not use a deficient animal for idolatry. Rav Ashi asked, Tarnagol Levan Ketula Mi, if an idolater asked, who has a white rooster with a cut-off toe to sell, is it permitted to sell him a Tarnagol Levan Shalem, an unblemished white rooster? Do we say that since he requested a mutilated one, it's not intended for Avodah Zorah, or do we say that he's being deceptive by requesting a Ketua knowing they're uncommon and is trying to hide his intent to use it for idolatry? So the idolater juggler, who was looking for someone to sell him roosters to juggle, asked one merchant if he had a white one with a cut-off toe, while his partner who wanted to juggle behemoth duck a sheep was being turned away by all the merchants. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Malkum shenagolim kor behemoth duck lo avdei kochavim, in a place where the custom is to sell small livestock to idolaters and not to suspect they'll have relations with the animals, which is forbidden for al b'nei Noach, it's permitted to sell them. In a place where the minhag is not to sell behemoth duck to idolaters because they may have relations with them, it's prohibited to sell them. Alright, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which stuff do we talk about walking into decorated shops with rose or hadas in an idolatrous town? And the question whether the issue is only being nehne from Avodah Zorah or also being mahana Avodah Zorah. That's on Daf Yud Gimel. Good. Number 2. Which stuff do we want it's forbidden to sell animals to a Yisrael who is suspected of selling them to idolaters? That's on Daf Tezvav. Good. Number 3. Which stuff do we discuss selling a behemoth daka to an idolater? That's on Daf Yadalit. Good. Number 4. Which stuff do you discuss the danger of drinking from a pipe or drinking at night? That's on Daf Yud Beis. Good. Number 5. Which stuff do you learn how to calculate Shemitah based on the Churban? That's on Daf Tes. Good. Number 6. Which stuff do we learn that selling a behemoth gasu to an idolater is forbidden? That's on Daf Tezvav. Good. Number 7. Which stuff do we ask if it's permitted to sell an idolater on an unblemished white rooster if he asks for a tarnagol levan ketua, a white rooster with a cut-off toe? That's on Daf Yadalad. Good. Number 8. Which stuff do we discuss whether one can assume the idolater bought an animal for shechita? That's on Daf Tezvav. Good. Number 9. Which stuff do we learn about the difference between buying from a merchant in an idolatrous market versus buying from a Baal Bias, Sheino Kavua? That's on Daf Yud Gimel. Good. Number 10. Which stuff do we learn that the 2,000 years of Torah begin when Avraham Avinu was 52 years old? That's on Daf Tes. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichur, wishing you a great day and great learning.